meet with us around the Word of God tonight. Let us bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for this, the evening of thy day. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless us as we meet together around thy word, that thou wilt speak to every heart, that every listener tonight will have ears open to the word of God. Speak to all our hearts and do us good with thy presence tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, join in the singing of the opening hymn tonight. Let us sing of his love once again, of the love that can never decay, of the blood of the Lamb who was slain, till we praise him again in that day. I believe Jesus saves, and his blood makes me whiter than snow. I am sure we shall win, for we fight in the strength of our King. 204 in our hymn book. I trust you'll join together wherever you are in the singing of this hymn. Father, we thank Thee this evening for the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for hope in the midst of a hopeless world. We thank Thee for life that is available, eternal life, to those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice, O God, this evening that the message we present is a message that can deliver souls from the bondage of sin. And, O God, a message that can mean they can know this wonderful salvation that is found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we pray this evening that Thou wilt help us to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Help us to set before men and women and young people that message of salvation, whereby sinners can be saved, whereby they can have a hope beyond this life, a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, tonight that Thou wouldst work in hearts, that Thou wouldst bring conviction of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. Show, Lord, people tonight their great need of salvation. We pray that Thou wilt reveal Thyself to folk tonight as they hear the gospel, that by Thy Holy Spirit Thou wilt speak, that still small voice will be heard in the hearts and lives of many this evening, that across this land, O God, this night, precious souls will be swept into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, that men and women will be saved from wrath to come. Heavenly Father, we pray in these challenging times in our land and across our nation and to the uttermost parts of the world. We pray that Thou wilt intervene in the midst of this pandemic, that Thou wilt help the sorrowing ones tonight. We pray that Thou wilt comfort them in their loss. We pray that Thou wilt help the governments of the world, our own government here locally and nationally. We pray, our God, that Thou wilt give direction, that right decisions will be made. And most of all, we pray for Thine intervention, that, Lord, a vaccine will be found, or a means directly, as Thou shalt choose, to intervene in this pandemic, to stop the spread of this infection, and, O God, to spare lives, even in Thy mercy. We look to Thee, O God, that Thou wilt work out Thine own purpose, even at this time. We know that Thou art in control, and so we leave the issues with Thee. Remember the family of the church too. Meet every need in every family, with every individual. Let us know those, O God, who need Thy touch in body and in mind. We pray that Thou wilt be with them. Those who have had sorrow in recent times, we pray for comfort and grace in the midst of their sorrow, that they may know Thy presence with them, abiding with them continually. Father, bless Thy work, not only here in Northern Ireland, but across the world. We pray that Thou wilt bless the witness of Thy truth, that many souls will be swept into the kingdom of God and brought to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So hear us tonight, we pray. Grant Thy blessing and benediction upon this service. We'll be careful to ascribe to Thee the praise, the honor, and not to touch the glory, for Thou alone art worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're reading from the Word of God tonight in the book of Numbers, the Old Testament scriptures, the book of Numbers, and the chapter 32. And we will commence our reading at the verse number 6. Numbers 32, verse 6. And Moses said unto the children of Gad, unto the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers, when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel. And he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. And they came near unto him and said, We will build sheepfolds here for our cattle, and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel, until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities, because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, If ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return, and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build you cities for your little ones, and folds for your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, Thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, as my Lord saith. Amen. Ending our reading there at verse 27, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his precious, inerrant, inspired, and infallible word. We emphasize again the words of welcome that we made at the beginning to our service this evening. And we trust that the Lord will draw near and bless us as we meet together around his word tonight. Do please remember that this week on Wednesday evening will be our missionary prayer meeting online, the focus on the work in Perth, Western Australia. There will be a video shown online so that you can see a little of the work and hear of the work that is going on there under the ministry of Reverend Philip Gardner in Perth, Western Australia. You can set aside your missionary giving for this work and put it in marked for Reverend Gardner for the work there when we next meet. On Thursday, there will be a meeting of church committee at 7:30 p.m., followed by a meeting of Kirk session. On Friday at 8 p.m., the youth fellowship meeting will be by Zoom. The link will be sent out to you later in the week. Please join us for this. We've been enjoying the times of fellowship with the young people by this means in recent times. We trust again this Friday night the Lord will be with us. Reverend Nathan McVeigh will join us on Zoom, and it'll be a question and answer time on his testimony and other items, of course, for the meeting as well. Don't miss this meeting, young people. And parents, encourage your young people to link in on Friday night at 8 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, the service at 11:30, and I will be the preacher again online. At 7 p.m., the service again online. And the gospel service, our evening service, will take the form of a family and friends night service. And of course, this time, we'll have a testimony, a wonderful testimony of God's grace from John Weir, from the Donegal Road area of Belfast. Wonderful story of the grace of God in the life of this young man. And he will be here to testify, God willing, and to speak online next Sunday evening. Do encourage others to link in and listen to this wonderful story and pray for the meeting next Sunday evening. Our presbytery issued a statement after its Zoom meeting yesterday. Of course, we are all conscious of the difficult times we're living in. Now, the great challenge that there is to our government, to all in authority, we need to pray for them, as Romans chapter 13 exhorts us so to do. And we pray for them that they may be guided to make the right decisions in these times. And we pray for all who are in the health service and all who are in the front line, the emergency services, essential services, that they will be protected at this time, and our population as a whole, across our land and our nation, and further afield, will be protected in these difficult times. The presbytery statement reads as follows. As a presbytery, we wish to make known publicly our views upon the recently introduced lockdown measures to be in place for a further 2 weeks. While we agree with the efforts of government to control and minimize the effects of COVID-19, and while we are concerned about the effects of lockdown measures upon society in terms of the material welfare of the citizens of this province, yet above all else, the closure of places of worship for a further 2 weeks is of major concern and regret to us. We would remind legislators that assembling to worship in public gatherings is an essential right and privilege bestowed on mankind by God as Creator and Redeemer, in order to provide for the spiritual and mental well-being of humanity. We would also remind legislators that as history clearly reveals, liberty to worship according to Scripture and the Gospel has contributed to the material stability and prosperity of society. Therefore, while we are prepared to be in subjection to government guidelines with respect to COVID-19 in terms of this proposed 2-week closure of places of worship, we would urge upon the Stormont Executive that they must make every possible effort to ensure that there are no further such closures. We would also encourage the Stormont Executive to issue a call to prayer for the intervention of Almighty God in the face of this pandemic, that He might graciously remove it. Do continue to pray earnestly about the situation in our land, in our nation, across the world at this time. Normally at this time we'll be having our offering, so you can set aside your offerings till next we meet. Do pray also for the sick and those who have lost loved ones, that the hand of God will be upon all our church family in these times and the wider community as well. We're going to hear from Natasha now. She's going to minister a couple of pieces to us.
Strength when I am weak, You are the treasure that I seek, You are my all in all. Seeking You as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool, You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, precious Lamb of God, worthy is Your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless Your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, You pick me up. When I am dry, You fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is Your name.
Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we come into thy presence tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we turn to thy word now, we pray for power, even the power of thy Holy Spirit. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We pray in Jesus' name. And for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the world's greatest detective. You'll find the text in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. And the word of God says there, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. We often use the word sure in our conversation with others from day to day. We talk about something and say, well, it's as sure as death itself. Again, we may say, it's as sure as the dawning of the day. There are things, many things, that we can be sure about. But there are other things that we cannot be sure about. There's a lot of uncertainty. Maybes and perhapses and ifs and buts. But here is something absolutely sure in our text. Be sure your sin will find you out. Some of you like a good detective story. A whodunit. Maybe you're a fan of Miss Marple or Poirot or something like that. Well, here's the world's greatest detective. Your sin will find you out sooner or later. Now, what kind of sin are we talking about? There are a lot of kinds of sins, different sins. The sins of the flesh, drunkenness and drug abuse and adultery and fornication and such like. There are sins of the spirit like pride and envy and selfishness. Sins of disposition, prejudice, and repression. There are national sins, domestic sins, and so forth. All kinds of sins. What about here when he says, be sure your sin will find you out? Look at the context from which we have read tonight in Numbers chapter 32. You can read it for yourself. And see the children of Israel here on the threshold of the promised land, the land of Canaan. They had come out of Egypt. They had come through the wilderness. And they're about to go in. They're on the east side of Jordan, ready to cross over the river and go over to the west bank. But they thought such was the good place that they were in there. They wanted to settle there and not to go over Jordan. But Moses told them that they must cross over and fight with the enemies there that the land of Canaan might be possessed for the children of Israel. No man has a right to be at peace when his brothers are at war. And if they would not cross over Jordan, then here's our text tonight. But if ye will not do, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. What is the sin he mentions here that is certain to find them out? It is the sin of omission. And all other sins are the symptoms of this sin. This is a major sin. And of course, that's the reason why the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You see, all other sins grow out of failing to do what we ought to do. Here is something of vital importance. And that has come to our subject tonight. The world's greatest detective. And first of all, I want you to notice this sin, how destructive it is. How destructive it is. In the Word of God, we find that God brings judgment upon people, not primarily for what they do, but because of what they won't do. For example, the Lord Jesus Christ put a curse upon the fig tree, not because it brought forth poisonous fruit, but because it brought forth no fruit. Matthew 21, verse 19. You remember the priest and the Levite in the parable of the Good Samaritan. They passed by and left the man to die on the way from Jerusalem to Jericho. And the force of the parable is that they passed him by.
You'll find it in Luke chapter 10, verses 31 to 32. It was the sin of omission. It is what they failed to do. Again, in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, the man who had the one talent simply did nothing with it. He was called as a result a wicked and a slothful servant, simply because of what he had failed to do. I recently heard of an employer who sacked a man. The man said, "Why? I didn't do anything." "Exactly," said the boss. "That's why I'm sacking you. Because you did nothing." And multitudes in this world are spending their time trying not to do the wrong thing. Trying not to steal or not to be dishonest or not to lie or not to be lazy or not to be proud. Trying not to do this or to do that. And that's why they're failing. They're putting the emphasis upon the wrong place. And Paul said in Romans 12 verse 21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." What is he saying? He's saying that the problem with so many is the sin of omission. The sin of omission. Let me ask you a question. Why are souls lost? Why do men and women and young people go to a lost eternity? You say, oh, they go because they drink, they steal, they're proud, they're arrogant, they do vile sins. No, that's not why souls go to hell. For those sins, Jesus Christ bled and suffered and died. Those sins have been paid for. Why do souls go to hell? Because they have failed to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, in verse 18, the Word of God says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You see, in John 16, verses 8 to 9, the Spirit will convince the world of sin because they believe not. Not because of what they do, but because of what they don't do. A gospel tract was written. On one side of that tract, it says, "What shall I do to be saved?" And underneath, the answer is given: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." On the other side, it says, "What must I do to be lost?" And there's just a blank space. Nothing. Just do nothing. You'd be lost. A man is already lost. Why? Because, John 3:18 again, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Are you listening tonight? It is the sin of omission that causes souls to be lost forever in a Christless hell. Now let's think about this in our spiritual life, even as Christians. What is it that causes us to be weak in our spiritual life? The reason why some of us are so spiritually anemic and sick is not what's coming into our bodies that's wrong. It's because of what's coming into our spirit that is wrong. Job said in Job 23, verse 12, "I have desired the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." There's no way possible that you can be a strong, vibrant Christian without partaking of the food of God's word. Feasting upon the Word of God. Peter said in his epistle in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." Listen, dear friends, we are weak as Christians, not because of what we do wrong, but of what we fail to do. The same thing is true of our prayer lives. Did you know that you don't have a failure, but what is a prayer failure? A prayer failure. There's not a thing that you've done wrong, but that which proper prayer could have prevented. What did Jesus say to the disciples? He said to them, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Mark chapter 14, verse 38. You say, but Peter denied the Lord with oaths and curses. That wasn't Peter's fault. His fault was he didn't watch and pray. You don't have to have a need in your life, but what proper prayer can supply that need? The sin of omission is what is making us weak spiritually. Are you weak spiritually tonight, Christian? You say, my thoughts are sinful. What is wrong? You need to load your thoughts with the Word of God. The Bible says there in Philippians 4, in verse 8, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, etc., we're to think on these things. Things that are pure. What have you to do to destroy your marriage? Neglect it. The same thing is true of the church. What have we to do to destroy the church? Simply neglect it. And many today in the church are the first cousins of Gad and Reuben who are mentioned here in this context of Numbers chapter 32. They want to drink the sweet and eat the fat. They want to stay on the wrong side of Jordan. They just want to be blessed. They say, preacher, feed me. And they come and they want to be blessed. But they don't want to do anything. No sacrifice. No suffering. Someone else can suffer. Someone else can give. Someone else can go. Someone else can pray. I'm just going to sit on the wrong side of Jordan. I'm going to sit in the clover here. Sin of omission is the sin out of which other sins grow. It's a sin that will send you to hell, lost soul. It's a sin that if you get saved, it will keep you from being victorious in your Christian life. A sin that will blight your marriage. A sin that will ruin the church. A sin of omission. Then I want to come secondly tonight to notice how deceptive this sin is. You see, sin is so deceptive. And multitudes are deceived by it in this world tonight. Ever since the fall of man, this deception has been in this world. It has been the strategy of Satan, with all cunning to cause men and women and young people to be deceived by sin. As we look out in this world at this particular moment, we see everywhere how deceptive sin is. And none of us can say that we have not been deceived by sin. We have been caught many times in this awful snare and trap of the devil. Deceived by the attractiveness of sin. That's the first thing. Sin is so often pleasing to the eye. It flatters to deceive. In Genesis chapter 3, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye. And the Bible speaks in 1 John 2 and verse 16 of the lust of the eyes. And people look at sin and they're attracted to it. The glitter of sin, the bright lights of sin. They're pleasing to the eye of the beholder. And you look at the world and the things that are in the world and the sins of the world, you're attracted to them. To participate in those sinful practices. The woman Eve here in Genesis 3 in the garden saw the forbidden fruit as pleasant to the eye, and so she was drawn to partake of that which God had expressly told her that she was not to be a partaker of. And she gave to her husband. And so you and I are naturally attracted to sin because of the fall into sin of our first parents. Pleasing to the flesh, good for food, the lust of the flesh. And how the lust of the flesh attracts people to sin. It appeals to the sinful nature within each one of us. You remember David there in 2 Samuel 11 and verse 2, the lustful look of David, it was pleasing to the flesh and led to the sin of adultery and also murder. In James chapter 4 and verses 14 to 15, the Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Have you been drawn into sin by the lust of the flesh? It appeals to you. You're attracted to it. Then you have the pride of life, and how attractive sin is, and that is something to be desired to make one wise. Genesis 3:6. And so Eve took of the forbidden fruit and did eat and gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. And so both of them sinned against the Lord. And that sin has been passed down, as we said, to our generation today. All have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. You've been deceived by sin. But let me say to you that sin may be attractive to the eye of the beholder, but it has deadly consequences. It brought forth death. The Bible says in Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us also, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Word of God says in Romans 5, 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And sin is so deceptive. It's not what it appears to be. Behind the bright lights and the glitter, and the music and the dancing and the intoxication and the fixes of the world and the immoral lifestyle promoted by the world is death. Death. Are you lured into sin by its attractiveness? Oh, that you might flee from it tonight, for it is a deadly thing, it will destroy you. And then there are those who are deceived, secondly, by the associations through sin. You see, sin will deceive you to join with those of the world's company, to be swayed by the crowd, to swim with the tide, to be blown in the direction that the wind is blowing. Go with your friends to the pub. Go to the nightclub and to the party, to the immoral places of the world. Don't stick out like a sore thumb. Don't be the one that refuses to go to such places or to indulge in such practices. And many are deceived by worldly associations into the vilest of sins to drink at the streams of worldly pleasure. And even those brought up in good homes and taught different and to know right from wrong are deceived by sinful associations, dragged down into the quagmire of depravity. Is that where you're at tonight? Are the associations of the world? Be careful who you choose as your friends. And remember too tonight that sin will bring you further than you want to go. Oh, the deceptiveness of sin. But thirdly, deceived by the amusements of sin. Oh, the world's merry-go-round is deceptive. But once you get on it, and round you go, you become more dizzy. It becomes more and more difficult to jump off and to get clear of that merry-go-round. There are all sorts of amusements in the world. A long list of them. The Vanity Fair of the world. Such a variety to choose from. Sugar-coated they are. But once the sugar has gone off. They are bitter as gall. I always remember in early college days, a young student going into college. And before class, one of the other students was handing round sweets. And of course, we were always up for to get a sweet. Oh, take as many as you want. Take a handful if you want. If you're a bit greedy then, you took two or three, put them into your mouth. They looked nice. They tasted nice for a few seconds. But then they were absolutely rotten. So hot. Thought your tongue was going to dissolve. It was absolutely on fire. All you wanted was to get those sweets out of your mouth and to get something into your mouth that would taste nice and get that awful taste away. How like the amusements of the world. At first the taste is nice, even pleasant and pleasing and agreeable. But then there's the bitterness. The awful bitterness. You cannot get relief or release from that awful taste. Deceived by the amusements of sin. Deceived by the attainments of sin. You know, sin will put many attainments before you. Position in the world and power and popularity and even prosperity and wealth of the world. These are promised. But even though they may be attained for a while, it only will be for a temporary period. It doesn't satisfy. How deceptive sin is, men and women and young people. Have you been deceived by sin? Even now, even at this moment, you're still being deceived by it. The Bible speaks of the deceitfulness of sin. The Bible speaks here in our text, be sure your sin will find you out. You see, the third thing tonight is the detection by sin. The world's greatest detective. Your sin will find you out. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And Paul goes on to enlarge upon this and explain it in the next verse there in Galatians 6. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You reap whatsoever you sow. If you sow to the wind, my dear friend, you will reap the whirlwind. Be sure, it says, be sure your sin will find you out. You see the certainty of it. Adam and Eve's sin found them out. Genesis chapter 3. God came to them in the garden. Their sin found them out. God said, where art thou? Cain's sin found them out in Genesis chapter 4. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. The prodigal's sin found them out. In Luke chapter 15, and so we could go on down the list of men and women whose sin found them out. And you be absolutely certain that your sin, whatever it is, will find you out. The certainty of it. I want you to think about the contamination of it, your sin. Be sure your sin. Sin contaminates the heart of man, making it deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The Bible speaks in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Sin. Total depravity of man. There is no goodness or righteousness in man. Sin is everywhere in man. The whole head is sick. The heart faint, the scripture tells us. Others are contaminated too. The spread of sin in society among those of every color and creed and culture across this world. Sin is common to all. It is universal across the globe. All have gone aside. All have become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Sin contaminates. And the eye of God sees the heart of man sees the wickedness and sinfulness of man, and all is revealed. To the God of heaven, his all-seeing eye sees where man cannot see, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. He sees your heart tonight. Sees how it is with you, the wickedness that lies within, the contamination of sin. And I want you to see the conclusion of it here. Be sure your sin will find you out. You see, the detective finds out the guilty party. The crime is solved. The case is closed. Sentence is passed. Sin finds you out in the long run. You're called to account. You cannot cover it up forever. Well, you may try to do it and even succeed to a measure in this life, but you will give account one day when you stand before God. The Bible teaches us in Isaiah 59:12, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee, our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In Genesis 44:16, and Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? This is to Joseph. What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. You see, sin had found him out. In the presence of Joseph, they were found out. My friend, in the presence of a greater one than Joseph, the Lord himself, our sins have been found out. What utter hopelessness this would leave you in tonight if we finished there. What darkness and desolation. But thank God, though our sin is found out, yet there is a wonderful deliverance for us. From our sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, he died upon that cross. He took our sins on his own body on the tree. He bore them on his own body on the tree. He was our substitute. He died as the substitute for sinners. He had sacrificed for our sin. There's cleansing from every sin in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that blood he shed on Calvary. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Oh, that you might come now and wash in that fountain, cleansed from every sin. The thief was sure that the church was a safe hideout. Just inside, he spied a rope up to the garret. Up he climbed only to hear the church bell ringing out his whereabouts. A Mexico City man snatched a woman's purse and dashed into a doorway to hide. It turned out to be the door of a police station, where he was questioned and later identified by the victim. Shoplifting in a department store in Rochester, New York, a man picked up an alarm clock and headed for the nearest exit. The clock, concealed under his coat, went off before he could get out of the store, and the detectives came running to arrest him. A Canadian who had a custom-built radio stolen from his car advertised in a local paper for a custom-built radio. The first person to contact him about the advert was a thief. A Glasgow pickpocket got a 60-day prison term after trying his luck on an excursion boat carrying 20 police officers and their wives. Police in Palo Alto seized a suspect as he stood in a post office admiring his wanted poster. See, sin finds you out. These people who had committed crimes, they were found out. Seems some there in a very amusing way, almost. But they were found out. A public utilities company seeking a franchise in a large city sent an unscrupulous representative to interview a city official whose vote was sorely needed. And so, when the official intimated that his vote was not for sale, the representative exclaimed, "Think of the money, man. It's the bargain of a lifetime. You'll never have another chance to make money so easily." So easily replied the official, "Listen, friend, no one ever got a bargain in sin. It's the highest paid and priced thing in the market. You tell me, all I have to do is vote right. Well, it isn't that only the beginning of what I'd have to do. I'd have to carry the consciousness of my dishonesty to the grave. I'd have to live with my remorseful conscience. I'd have to pose before my wife and children as someone I know I am not. Don't tell me it's a bargain. Oh, my friend, your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. The greatest detective in the world. But thank God, as we said, there is deliverance from sin tonight. You can know what it is to be freed from your sin, to be cleansed from your sin. Well, that you might know that freedom tonight through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be sure your sin will find you out. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, apply thy word to the hearts of each one. We pray that tonight there will be those who will come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, and to know deliverance from their sin through the precious blood of the Lamb. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning to our hymn books as we conclude tonight. 211. There is a story sweet to hear, I love to tell it to. Fills my heart with hope and cheer, 'tis old yet ever new. 211. And we trusted you will join in the singing of this hymn together.
thank you for listening to our service tonight. We trust that God will bless his word to your heart. If you're concerned about your soul, do please make contact with us by telephone, calling us on landline or texting or emailing us. We'll be happy to speak with you about these things. Don't leave it too late. Come to Christ tonight and be saved. Father in heaven, apply thy word to every heart. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.